Immunization for people at risk and for those who live with them or care for them. The American Lung Association asks, are you one of the faces of influenza? See your healthcare provider about getting an influenza immunization.
What do you want from the Wizard of Oz?
Just messing with you. But seriously, people don't want to stand in front of my big, awesome wizard head and hear me going, duh. They want answers. That's why I go to USA.gov, the official source for government info. It gives me the smarts to go with the show. Say someone asks for a brain. I go to USA.gov, type in student loans, and 4 years later, they're chock full of knowledge. Is the Wicked Witch terrorizing your neighborhood? Well, move. Then search USA.gov for change of address form so your friends can find you and the witch can't. How about if you're stuck here from Kansas and want to go home? Well, check out USA.gov for the latest travel restrictions and passport applications. I even use it for myself. Bought my sweet ride at a government auction I found on USA.gov. I call it the Wizmobile. Balloons are for squares.
For federal and state government information, there's no place like USA.gov.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, San Diego, and worldwide at KCBQ.com.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Congressional leaders have released final legislation to create a $700 billion bailout of the financial markets. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says this legislation is extremely important.
Every American has an interest in fixing this crisis. Inaction would paralyze our economy.
Senator Judd Gregg of New Hampshire says the bailout bill isn't just about bailing out banks.
This is about Main Street. It's about America. It's really about the whole fabric of American life when you get down to it, because it's about the commerce of America and the effect that a huge dislocation would have on that.
The text of the bill is available at www.speaker.gov. The House plans a vote on the rescue bill Monday. The Senate is expected to follow later this week. The rescue is the largest government intervention in financial markets since the Great Depression. The Alliance Defense Fund held its Pulpit Freedom Sunday today, where approximately 33 pastors across the country made endorsements for political candidates in their church services. The ADF's legal counsel Eric Stanley tells SRN News this is a planned protest against IRS rules in force since 1954, and they're inviting the IRS to revoke each of the church's tax-exempt status.
They will take the recordings of their sermons, they will send them off to the IRS, and in essence tell the IRS that we do not believe we violated any law here. We believe that we exercised our constitutional rights freely, but we ask you to take a look at this and to address us if you have any concerns about this.
Before 1954, preachers were free to talk about candidates in the pulpit. Then Texas Senator Lyndon B. Johnson spearheaded a measure to prevent nonprofit tax-exempt organizations from participating in political campaigns. Police in Iraq say at least 32 people have been killed and nearly 100 wounded in a series of bomb attacks in Baghdad. The blast began near sundown as Muslims were preparing for Ramadan. This is SRN News.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, and streaming on the web at
kcbq.com.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you don't understand why Christians would sit down and have dinner with a man like Ahmadinejad. Well, I'm with you on that one. Not everybody who calls himself a Christian is a Christian, and the World Council of Churches believes in the Bible only by cherry-picking their doctrines to see which ones are politically correct. As for Christian pacifists, they have more genuine sincerity, but I believe it to be misplaced sincerity. Yeah, we did it again as a country. We allowed Ahmadinejad to set foot on our shores, and instead of arresting him, we permitted Hitler incarnate to talk about the evil United States and the evil Israel whom he plans to wipe off the face of the earth in the near future. The rest of us don't need to worry until the distant future. We are used to allowing such maniacs to address the United Nations, but did he also need to speak at the University of Utah? Did he need to be a guest on Larry King Live, where Larry asked tough questions such as, how many children do you have? Oh, that's telling him, Larry. Wow, can that king ever play hardball? Yeah, Larry also asked him if he would sit down and try to make peace with Israel. Ahmadinejad said no. He could not possibly have said it more plainly or more clearly. Larry looked astonished. I could have predicted that answer because Ahmadinejad's been saying it plainly and clearly for years. The man is a Jew-hating Holocaust denier who plans to go beyond Israel and wipe out the entire Western world with nuclear missiles, thus bringing in, supposedly, the age of the 12th Imam. But many liberals don't seem to understand this. In their minds, the concept of evil is as extinct as the inhabitants of the La Brea tar pits. Now, don't get me wrong. My liberal friends are well-intentioned and sincere. I am generalizing, but for the most part, they figure everyone in the world must want the same thing, or at least they will want the same things if they get the same opportunities. They forget that many of the 9/11 gang came from well-to-do families and were college-educated. They think deep down inside, we all have similar values. The concept of a religion which seeks to conquer, which is uninterested in democracy or peace talks, is unthinkable to them. The very notion that a man might just hate Jews because he enjoys hating Jews is as foreign to these people as planet Mars. They simply find it impossible to believe the man will do just exactly what he said he would do. That is, they find it impossible if we would only sit down and reason with him first. Listen, I love reason, but it assumes we are talking to somebody reasonable. This is why so many people in the 1930s and 1940s had trouble believing the Holocaust was going on, despite the many reports. Coincidentally, this Ahmadinejad who brags that he will start his own Holocaust also preaches that the first Holocaust never happened. It is to him a Jewish lie. Yeah, this honored guest of our universities is calling the Holocaust a Jewish lie. But his denial is not much different than other kinds of denials. Even when history is stained with Holocausts and genocides, people still deny that evil exists. Sure, wars exist and they are tragic, but they take place because Captain Kirk was unable to get the Federation and the Romulans to sit down and talk to each other. If you could just talk to each other. That's my William Shatner. We'll move right on. The only time I catch my friends on the left using the word evil is when they're referring to Bush, or perhaps the new Bush in their minds, Sarah Palin. Now, why did they dislike Bush so much? Because he was a cowboy who talked too much about good and talked too much about evil, and everybody knows those ideas are behind the times. In fact, to believe in evil is, well, it's evil. Ahmadinejad isn't evil. Why? Because he smiles a lot, and he seems friendly. This means two things. One, when he lies and says he does not hate Jews, only Zionists, we should believe him. Two, when he tells the truth and says he plans to destroy Israel and the rest of the world for the sake of Islam, we should not believe him. All because he smiles. Some of my Christian brothers and sisters are also taken in by this reptile. Quaker and Mennonite leaders, both representing pacifist denominations, big surprise, met with Ahmadinejad because only through talks will we avoid a war. Inasmuch as their Christian worldview supposedly admits that sin is our joint heritage as human beings, it's surprising they think that talking to someone will make them stop sinning. Yes, the Bible teaches that sinful humans can have their hearts transformed, but the Bible also speaks of hardened individuals who have become evil and will never turn back. The Bible draws a distinction between evil and sin. Sin is our potential to become possessed by evil. Evil is the possession itself. But whether you're a Christian pacifist or a secular pacifist, let me give the bottom line one more time. The man does not want to avoid a war. How do you talk to somebody out of doing what he wants to do and what he plans to do out of obedience to the God he believes in? I mean, is Ahmadinejad more afraid of Allah or that guy in the Quaker Oats box? He keeps telling us he intends to go to war. Yes, evil men lie, but it's also true that if you let them talk long enough, sooner or later they will tell you just exactly what they plan to do because they love their evil and they love to brag about their evil. The only lies are his justifications and rationalizations, such as Israel's illegal occupation of Palestine. How many of you realize he does not refer to the West Bank when he says that? He's not talking about the West Bank. He's talking about all of Israel. How many would keep talking to the man if he actually did destroy Israel? I think my pacifist friends would continue talks even if Ahmadinejad obliterated every single Israeli. They would figure, well, better to talk to him than have him also obliterate every American. I'm convinced that is what they would do. If they wish to prove me wrong, then they should cease all conversation with this Hitlerite snake now, because even if he does not succeed in turning Israel into the Grand Canyon, he intends to try. How do I know? Well, folks, I have the audacity to listen to what the man actually says instead of listening to liberals and peaceniks try to explain to me what he really means or how he will change his mind after they all take tea together. Pacifism works only when both parties wish to be pacifists, or at least when the opposing party has a conscience. When one party reads a holy book that forbids him to be friends with Jews and Christians, I must believe he is not really our friend, even when he smiles. I guess the part where he actually admits and explains how he's going to destroy us also contributes toward my belief. Do you ever watch old footage of Hitler? You can go on the History Channel, watch it all the time. In fact, a lot of times they call the History Channel the Hitler Channel. They show Hitler so much, but you should watch it once in a while. Hitler smiled. He smiled often. I saw footage of him once holding a little girl on his lap. The camera was rolling. It brought a tear to my eye. He's such a gentleman. Who could believe he was responsible for all those atrocities? Oh, yeah, that's right. Ahmadinejad tells us he wasn't responsible. And who could believe Ahmadinejad will be responsible for future tragedies? Well, nobody on the left. They would have to first learn that evil is a real word in the dictionary and that the definition does not say, see George Bush. On the other hand, maybe a smile is the best barometer. On the heels of the first 2008 presidential debates, the polls and opinions are in. Hold on to your seats, folks. Hold on to your seats. Most Republicans thought McCain won. Most Democrats thought Obama won. This is absolutely shocking. How much money did they pay the pollsters to solicit that information? Hey, maybe I can be a pollster. I wouldn't even need to talk with anyone. I'll just print the results, and in the time I was supposedly interviewing people, I'd hit the beach and do some body surfing. But my favorite moments were listening to why McCain supposedly lost. I picked a few choice ones. Number one, he looked too old. Number two, he waved his hands like George Bush. Number three, he didn't look at Obama once. Boy, you know, if I ever get accused of something that I didn't do, I hope these people are not on my jury. Is this the way people make judgments? He didn't look at Obama once. Number four, he referred to his opponent as Senator Obama, but Obama was personal enough to call him John. Oh, well, then we should make Obama our president. And why did people feel Obama did well? He looked presidential. And he looked calm and collected. He did not get as heated up as McCain. Oh, people, if only debates could be transposed into manuscript form alone, we would be forced to defend our opponent on ideas alone. In fact, it might not be a bad idea. No more televised debates. People must read them and then pass a written exam proving they read them, and those people and only those people will be allowed to vote. What do you think? I guess not. Wouldn't work. Somebody would call it racism. Exactly why it would be racism, I'm sure I don't know, but somebody would say it, so we will never do it. Therefore, my advice to Senator McCain before the next debate, smile. In fact, learn to smile as well as Ahmadinejad. And who better to teach us about the importance of smiling than our own Smiley Miley?
Hey kids, did you know that a lie detector is inadmissible evidence in a courtroom? Then how can police know when a suspect is lying? Here's a handy safety tip. If a man is smiling, he can't be lying. You see, if a man is smiling, it means he's happy. And everybody knows that happy people are good people. Nobody could be happy by being a criminal or an evil dictator or a deceitful president. Take the very first presidential debate between Nixon and Kennedy. Everyone who heard it on the radio thought Nixon won the debate. But those people were fooled. They only got to hear the words themselves. If they had seen the debate on television, they would have seen Kennedy smiling and Nixon sweating. Then they could have looked past the words and ideas to see the truth. They also would have seen that Kennedy was just plain better looking than Nixon. But being right because you're good looking is a topic for another day. The point today? There's no denying if a man is smiling, he just can't be lying.
So, you think you can run your new business without a website? Hello, McFly. How are they going to discover your business? The phone book? Do people even use that thing anymore? Or maybe you just leave your business card in restaurants next to the generous tip, but you won't be able to afford that generosity much longer if you don't start using the internet. I do understand. If you're anything like me, you entered the computer age kicking and screaming. After all, I'm the artist type. That's a fancy way of saying that the only time I fix a computer myself is by rebooting or remembering to plug it in. But I'll tell you, even though I'm more into the arts than the sciences, I use my computer constantly, all day long, in fact, and I couldn't even imagine getting by without my website. Let me tell you how to build a website of your own simply and easily without the cost and trouble of a designer. The name is Web Studio. I don't see you writing this down. Web Studio. Web Studio is a website design software. It enables you to create your own pages in minutes without knowing HTML. All you do is use your mouse to drag and drop images and text. Then it saves the pages for you on the internet. Sounds simple? The program includes 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and anything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com. And don't worry, you can still use that sharp-looking business card. Just print your website on it. And welcome. Welcome to the 21st century. Did you know we've been to the moon?
Hey, this is Lori K. Lewis, a frequent co-host on The Bob Siegel Show, Talk Radio 1170 on KCBQ. If you have questions or comments during this radio broadcast, please call Bob at this toll-free number, 1-888-344-1170. Again, the number is 1-888-344-1170. We'd like to hear what you have to say.
Welcome back to Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. We've had a lot of guests the last couple of weeks, but it's just you and me today. So I'd love to make this a two-way conversation. You're welcome to jump in. Call in number, toll-free, 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. And before the break, we were mentioning that Ahmadinejad had come to New York, and looking at it from the point of view of the Christians who talked to him, I want to look at this from another angle. Now, there was a Jewish rally held in New York, and they were there to protest the Iranian leader. Now, I'd like to say that the UN loses all credibility by allowing this reptilian monster to speak, but since the UN lost all credibility years ago, it would be an irrelevant statement. Why didn't we slap some handcuffs on AHA, the Holocaust denier, and put him away for good? This would have spared us two things. First, World War III, or second, Israel having to take Iran out by herself while our own country argues about which candidate is going to bring about the most change. And the noble, ethical UN at that time will claim that Israel is in violation of some resolution and condemn her in the strongest of terms, all the while being secretly glad she did what she did. Kind of a repeat of what happened years ago when Israel took out Iraq's nuclear reactor. Well, again, we can avoid all this by simply arresting the maniac the next time he visits. But she'll be able to go ice skating on a frozen over hell long before that happens. Instead, this ruthless dictator will continue to ridicule our own president on our own soil, incurring praise from the leftists who will point out, as they did when he spoke at our college campuses, that the guy couldn't be all that bad because he smiled. Back to the Jewish protest rally in New York. At first, this looked at least like some semblance of sanity. Both Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton were invited as guest speakers. But alas, upon hearing that she would have to share the stage with a woman who recently upstaged her, Hurricane Hillary decided not to blow in. For some reason, the powers that be felt they must cancel Sarah in the absence of Hillary. The speech Sarah would have given can be read over the internet. In this speech, she praises Hillary for putting partisanship aside and joining her to speak against America's common enemy. Oh, irony, how bitter is thy sting. Evidently, Hillary sees Sarah Palin as more of a threat than Ahmadinejad. Honestly, folks, we have witnessed some despicable things from the Clintons, but this one pretty much takes the cake. Still, you can't have a cake without a party. And which party is always giving the lecture on partisanship? Democrats seem to be under the delusion that partisanship is a charge reserved only for Republicans. Was Bush our real president? Well, yes, according to Republicans, but by an amazing coincidence, every single Democratic politician accuses Bush of stealing the election. Let's go to the phones. We have Stephen in North Park. Stephen, welcome to the Bob Siegel Show.
Bob, I thank you for taking my call, but I really must upbraid you for being so harsh on Grandma Get a Job. I mean, when you compare him to the Ayatollah that controls him behind the scenes, that guy is just as bright and as shiny as Doris Day's smile. I mean, he was chosen for his public appeal.
Yeah.
I mean, after all, they shut down the opposition candidates and rounded up and shot a whole bunch of their supporters.
Yeah, we are giving the guy kind of a bum steer,
and
aren't we?
Let's face it, Ahmadinejad does not control the Revolutionary Guard, who actually is the main force, them and the Al-Quds, who supply the wonderful little people up in Syria. Remember them?
Oh, yeah.
Are these
the same Syrians that Barbara Walters visited and said what a charming country it was?
Oh, yes, and the people that have taken over the Lebanese parliament as well. I think Grandma Get a Job is just, well, since he's basically powerless and a propaganda arm, I think we should refocus our attention to Ayatollah Khamenei, who is behind the curtains manipulating that disgusting little creature.
Yeah, I think we need Toto to hear pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, as long as we're focused on Grandma Get a Job, the vile creature that has got its hand up his backside and making him perform goes completely unnoticed. I think we should direct our attention in a more precise focus on the vile little creature that not the vile little creature, but the creature behind the vile creature. Now, there's a piece of work for you, my brother.
Stephen, I always enjoy your calls. You're becoming my partner in sarcasm, but it's a sarcasm I really appreciate.
Thank you, sir. Have
okay.
a lovely day.
My friend, thank you for calling in. Well, once again, we have our Democratic friends claiming that only Republicans are partisan. When Bush became president, according to the Democrats, he stole the election. The very notion of somebody being against Bush, but still admitting that he won fair and square, is an idea that never occurred to anyone. This means that Republicans are partisan and Democrats aren't. And when Clinton was impeached, only those nasty Republicans wanted the impeachment. The high majority of Democrats were unconcerned that the man lied under oath while in office. Make no mistake, this is another clear example of Republicans being partisan and Democrats being, well, Democrats are just Democrats. But my favorite was when Sarah Palin was accused of being partisan. Why? Because she energized the Republicans at the Republican convention. Never mind that rallying your own party is the very reason for a convention. She should have reached across the aisle the way Obama did at the Democratic convention. Yeah, remember how much he praised Republicans during his campaign? Okay, well, he didn't exactly praise them. Instead, he talked about how they ruined our economy and our reputation around the world under George Bush's leadership. But you can't call such an accusation partisanship. When Democrats were the minority party, they complained that their voice should be heard just as if they were the majority party. Why? Because the people want bipartisanship. Then, when Democrats won back the House and Senate, they switched gears, chanting, "The people have spoken." There did not seem to be a mandate for allowing the minority Republican Party to be heard. Why not? Because, silly, when the people ask for bipartisanship, it means they want things done the way Democrats want them done, including the Republicans has never been a bipartisan practice. Are you catching on, children? Only Republicans are partisan. Democrats can never be accused of such a thing, even when one of them refuses to join a Republican by speaking out against the greatest threat on our country's horizon. Here endeth the lesson. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric. This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show four nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. That's the Rick Amato Show, Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com. Chicago. Doesn't that bring back the days? The days when it didn't look like our country was on the verge of disaster from so many directions. The war on terror to the economy. Love to hear your views about it. 1-888-344-1170. And now I do want to get to the much bigger news of the country this week. These last few weeks, you may have noticed I have had absolutely nothing to say about the economy on my radio show or my blog. And I blog almost every day. Now, one of the reasons is I have understood very little about what was happening. And I could not help but remember the old saying, better to be silent and be thought the fool than to speak and remove all doubt. Panelists and politicians have been removing such doubt day in and day out. Hey, that kind of rhymed. Anyway, I have never been much interested in economics. The subject is right up there on my list of snooze topics, somewhere in the vicinity of 14th century ceramic patterns and multiple varieties of sagebrush. But you would be surprised how fast one can learn and how fascinating a subject can become when the whole country turns to panic. What first piqued my interest? Well, I heard that my own bank, Washington Mutual, was headed the way of the Tyrannosaurus Rex, extinction. And I saw that McCain had lost his lead over Obama due to this Robin Hood-style mythology that when financial matters are bad, it's time to turn to our friends, the Democrats. I thought I'd better pay more attention to what was going on, and I made some interesting discoveries. Not that the info wasn't out there already, it's just that, like I said, we study what we are interested in studying, and we must first become motivated. Certainly the problem with the bank and housing markets is multifaceted and complex. There's plenty of blame to go around, but one crucial matter has at least been made abundantly clear, even to an economic airhead like myself. The very government that is now trying to bail us out of this mess created the mess in the first place. In the name of compassion, banks have been bullied by our government into offering mortgages to people who simply cannot afford to pay them back. Such clients have included the disenfranchised, and that sounds nice, the minorities, and that sounds nice, and even illegal aliens were getting loans. This is where it began, and this has, for the most part, come from the Democratic wing of Congress. And never mind the partisan talk, folks, you're listening to a Democrat. I've got to change my tagline to, this is Bob Siegel, the Democrat who always votes Republican. You want someone to cross party lines? I'll do it. Don't pay any attention to the stupid things my party says to you anymore. It came from the Democratic wing of the government, the same people who now want to blame the entire problem on, you guessed it, George Bush. Why not? After all, if the man can be responsible for a hurricane, he can certainly be responsible for crashing the housing market. Now, truth be told, we probably need the government to do this stupid bailout. I hate the idea of government interference. I hate it. But if our government broke the piggy bank, perhaps they should be the ones to sweep it up. Of course, they'll be sweeping it with our tax dollars as they purchase a bunch of bad mortgages. But at the very bottom of these mortgages are potential gold mines, houses and other properties destined to someday go up in value again. Our heads of state could get that money back if they act in a smart way. Oh, wait, I forgot. We're talking about the government. You should hear some of the Democrats in Congress demanding additional ornaments for this Christmas tree. I'm happy to say that it looks like some of this stuff is not going through. But let me tell you what the Democrats wanted to put through. They wanted to give 20%. You're talking about $7 billion. They wanted to give 20% of it to a crooked organization, a housing organization called Acorn, being investigated for voter fraud, but they are a Democratic organization, which is not only a company that helps with housing, but they bring people out on Election Day to vote for Democrats. And the Democrats, of course, are not being partisan by wanting to give 20%. It was giving money to these kinds of organizations that started the problem. Also, you'll love this one. They want to empower judges at their discretion to forbid banks to foreclose on bad loans should the bank be sued by the banker. I guess none of us have to be economists to ask the boneheaded question, why would people pay their mortgages if they knew their houses could never be taken away by the bank? Second question, isn't that kind of a kissing cousin to the policy that began the problem in the first place? Third cousin, will Democrats ever admit they had a hand in this? Well, you know the answer. In the name of compassion, the Democrats are driving our country into ruin. And each time they rescue banks from the very problems the government created, the government seizes more control, putting us on a road without any turns toward socialism. Meanwhile, Obama has the nerve to ridicule McCain for being in favor of deregulation. Well, Look, the term regulation can mean many different things in a discussion like this, but when banks are told by the government who they must give mortgages to, I would call that a kind of regulation, and that was a kind of regulation that McCain was not in favor of. Oh, yes, did I forget to mention that these bad mortgages are being purchased with money the government does not have? And when they raise our taxes, the economy will get even worse, since tax hikes always do that to the economy, and the U.S. dollar will not be worth its weight in tin foil anymore? Some say we will have to borrow even more from countries like China. Does that mean a dictatorial government will slowly but surely begin to exercise control over our country? Oh, I suppose we should look on the bright side. Under the Chinese, at least, we'll eat well. Please pass the sweet and sour shrimp. Honestly, what a zoo we had this week. No sooner did John McCain announce that he was heading for Washington than the Democrats jockeyed their position and gleefully reported that they had cut a deal. This was to immediately steal the credit away from their rival party's nominee. Only one problem. A whole host of Republicans and Democrats alike in the House of Representatives had never been consulted about this great deal. And while these blowhards were airing it out, Washington Mutual failed. The biggest bank failure in the history of our country. Bush tried to warn us that we were running out of time. The entire market and economy is ready to collapse. It's not about bailing out greedy Wall Street. It's about bailing out the entire country. So few people seem to understand this. Look, folks, I realize that panic feeds these things, and you can make a mountain out of a molehill. Unfortunately, however you make the mountain, once you have the mountain, it's a mountain, and you have to deal with it. It no longer matters what the best plan is. This is not a time for nuanced arguments and philosophical discussion. We can worry about punishing people later. We can adjust the bill later. We can pass laws that would prevent this catastrophe from happening again later. It's not like we won't still have a Congress, although that might be a nice, never mind. We'll return to the Bob Siegel Show.
How many times have you heard the phrase, "they're all the same," applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home? Or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell, said, "When people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt." For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuiltInc.com. That's ProBuiltInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
I'd like to remind all of my listeners that the Bob Siegel Show has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. Every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30, you can hear City Voice. On this provocative program, my good friend George Runyon interviews a different local Christian ministry every week. You can listen to the show while driving to church, and don't be surprised, you may find it so interesting that you'll stay in the parking lot continuing to listen and skipping those Sunday school donuts. That's City Voice with George Runyon, every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on our sister station, KPRZ 1210. But right now, you're listening to KCBQ 1170. To our program, this is Bob Siegel. I want to tell you something. this economic disaster just might not have happened, and this thing that they're trying to push through, and it does look now like it's probably going to go through, probably even by sometime tonight. Of course, you never know. You keep hearing it is, you keep hearing it isn't. But part of the holdup is the Democrats and Republicans have trouble working together, but they all have their pet programs and their lobbyists. I want to tell you, this is the greatest argument for term limits I've ever heard. If we'd had term limits for every single senator and every single congressman, and for that matter, for our presidents, they would know that they were not ever going to be reelected no matter what they did. That just might free them up to do what is right according to the conscience. Remember the conscience? That little voice which speaks to you when you try to sleep at nights. They would also be putting the entire country ahead of special interest groups, lobbyists, and votes. As a matter of fact, it might be a new refreshing experience for those people on Capitol Hill who were placed there to serve us. Honestly, there's so much reason to be ashamed of our government. Not all of them. There's always exceptions. Not every single one, but many of them. Obama throws a press conference. We must deal with this financial crisis in a bipartisan way without worrying about who gets credit or who gets blame. By the way, John McCain and I gave a joint statement at my suggestion to give the joint statement. Also, when candidates were in Washington, meaning McCain, whose idea it was to go there, politics made things worse by being injected into the process. Oh no, Obama, you aren't one to assign credit or blame. And how about Harry Reid? You gotta love Harry Reid. Harry Reid said he didn't need McCain to suspend his campaign and return to Washington, that a deal was about to be made anyway. Well, then I guess McCain accomplished his purpose to save the day, or at least make it look that way. It was reminding me a lot of Mighty Mouse McCain this week. Here I come to save the day. Because prior to McCain's decision, we were not getting any indication from Democrats or Republicans in Congress to believe things were about to be settled. But okay, Harry, better settle it quickly now, lest McCain grab the credit. And hearing that McCain was headed back to Washington seemed to make Wall Street feel better on that particular day as well. Of course, a few days prior, Reid said he did need McCain's input, along with Obama's, actually asked them to come. I guess when Obama seemed more concerned about the campaign and responded to an invitation from McCain to return to Washington by replying, I can return if they need me. I'm just a phone call away. Well, then Reid figured he'd better act like he needs neither of them. And a while back, when Obama returned to vote in the Senate for another matter, Reid at that time criticized McCain for not returning them and caring more about campaigning than the country. Well, then Bush called both of them to return. Anyway, was McCain being political by pretending to look non-political? Let's see. Of course he was being political by pretending to look non-political. This is obvious. Who can be stupid enough to think otherwise? At the same time, McCain does have some credibility in as much as he has brought both parties together before. He showed leadership a few years ago by expressing concern that Freddie and Fannie, and I'm so tired of hearing the names Freddie and Fannie, but they were the beginning of this mess. Freddie and Fannie needed better oversight, according to McCain, instead of granting loans to people who could not possibly pay them back, oversight that the Democrats blocked. Yet now they scream about the evils of Wall Street and the Bush administration, which also asked for better oversight over those two flea-bitten pestle institutions. I'll tell you what, Harry, we don't care anymore whether this looks partisan or whether it looks like people are genuinely coming together. Americans care more about their jobs and mortgages. You care about keeping control of the Senate. Just do something. Because our entire economy weighs in the balance why you and your cronies worry less about the country and more about how to make Republicans look bad. I guess what I'm trying to say, Harry, is, oh, how shall I put this? I'm searching for the diplomatic words, the delicate words. Well, Harry, here's the thing. For once in your miserable, shameful, disgusting, hypocritical political career, just shut up. Well, evidently, Letterman was bothered that John McCain suspended his campaign, considering our financial crisis important enough to cancel his appearance on Late Night. So what does Letterman do? As a substitute guest, he invites MSNBC's Keith Olbermann to come on. I'm sure Letterman had no idea that the fair and balanced Olbermann would slam McCain. The charge? Well, Olbermann said McCain is backing away from Friday's debate out of fear. Why, Keith, that was just brilliant. Of course, McCain did show up for the debate after all, but let's go back to Keith. Let's go back to that moment when it was uncertain what was going to happen with the debate. And now, Keith, if you would be so kind, stop this love affair with yourself long enough to explain why John McCain has been inviting Obama to informal town hall debates for months. Exactly where was McCain's cowardice in putting forth such institutions and invitations? And pray tell, what were Obama's courageous reasons for declining? Because they were going to be unscripted? Because he would not be briefed with the questions ahead of time, like the famous Hollywood Squares guests, and with his mumbling, bumbling, and stumbling answer, we might actually hear what he really thinks about something? Because there wouldn't be questions such as, Senator Obama, please tell us your favorite color. NBC, we know you have gone so far to the left that you could circle the world like Magellan, but honestly, shouldn't you hire somebody who articulates his positions with at least a microscopic portion of objectivity? Since our economy is doing so bad, maybe you could save yourself some money by pulling Olbermann's program off the air. Oh, wait, that won't do. We need Olbermann to be a voice for those who want to make conservative programming against the law under the fairness doctrine, and I guarantee you, you won't hear the word fairness doctrine at any of the debates, but it might be one of the crucial things. Fairness doctrine, hate speech legislation, the fact that under Obama and the Democrats, free speech for anybody that disagrees with them will essentially be taken away. But I don't think you'll hear that in any of the debates. Well, never mind, NBC. For a moment, I forgot whom I was talking to. You just stick with Olbermann. He does you proud. Come to think of it, he's really no worse than your other commentators, just louder and more insufferably pleased with himself. He's also well animated. If you ever decide to be an actual news channel again, maybe Olbermann can find a happy home on the Cartoon Network. Speaking of cartoon shows, everybody is talking about how bad Sarah Palin did when CBS News anchor Katie Couric interviewed her. Did you see Katie Couric's interview with the other vice presidential candidate? Joe Biden said to Katie, and I'm quoting this exactly, part of what being a leader does to instill confidence is to demonstrate that he or she knows what they are talking about and to communicate to people, this is how we fix this. When the stock market crashed, Franklin Roosevelt got on the television and didn't just talk about the Princess of Greed. He said, look, here's what happened. Okay, those were the words of the guy who supposedly did not melt down when Katie Couric interviewed him. Now, I've already mentioned on my blog and radio show that we must cut public speakers some slack for slips of the tongue. True, this slip tumbles Biden over a precipice, but I still want to be merciful. We'll be right back. Looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com. This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show four nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues, local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. If you don't think you need such news talk and commentary, just try this quick pop quiz. Does Kevin Billings serve in the California State Senate or the United States Senate? Time's up! You were wrong no matter how you answered, because there is no Kevin Billings, and you might have known that if you'd been listening to the Rick Amato Show. I'm telling you, folks, this is the best talk show in San Diego. Oh, wait, I forgot about my own program. I'm telling you, folks, this is one of the two best talk shows in San Diego and the only live local evening talk show in San Diego. That's the Rick Amato Show, Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Yes, Kata Couric also did an interview with Biden in which Biden said that right after the Great Depression, when the stock market crashed, Roosevelt went on TV to explain it. Now, I suppose one can argue that the distorted facts demonstrate more than a mere slip of the tongue. Americans listened to presidents on the radio in Roosevelt's day, and none of them owned television. So it's okay. Well, we'll let that go, too. Oh, wait, one more thing. Roosevelt wasn't yet president when the stock market crashed. Hoover was. Oh, details. It is still true that Roosevelt helped our country through the Depression, and that's all Biden evidently intended to say. Well, this is fine. I'm a fair guy. No reason to put away the slack-cutting scissors. Still, one must see at least a hint of irony when such words are preceded with, part of what being a leader does to instill confidence is to demonstrate that he or she knows what they are talking about. Well, never mind. I'm still with you, Joe. You too, my Democratic friends. Oh, one small favor. Please do not ever again make comments about Sarah's misunderstanding of the Bush Doctrine. Nobody knows what that is, but I'll go out on a limb and say that quite a few Americans remember the difference between Hoover and Roosevelt, and the difference between radio and television. Why is the mainstream media not making a bigger issue of this when they made such a colossal story of Palin's interview with Charlie Gibson? The answer is found in the question. They are the mainstream media. I adore Sarah Palin, but I think McCain's handlers are trying to turn her into something she isn't, rather than letting the lady be herself. When she's herself, rather than a product of polls and focus groups aimed at the swing voters, Sarah shines. Now, I don't think she did as horribly with Kata Couric as so many others do, not when you watch the entire thing, but there certainly were problems. And so, Sarah, please ignore your campaign coaches. Listen instead to your old pal Bob's steps to winning the vice presidential debate this Thursday. Number one, Sarah, find a way to end this ridiculously stupid foreign policy discussion. Enough about Alaska being close to Russia. Nobody cares unless they play Risk. Just admit that you don't have foreign policy experience. Very few people do prior to becoming president. You were too busy governing Alaska with an 80% approval rating to save those bonus miles for a trip to Czechoslovakia or Zurich. And while we're on the subject, remind them that Bill Clinton was a governor before they elected him. He did not have foreign policy experience. For that matter, neither did Abraham Lincoln. And if Biden still won't back off, just say, Joe, do you really want to compare my experience with Senator Obama's? Do I need to remind you that he is the one on the top of the ticket? Do you really want to discuss this, Joe, especially since you were his worst critic on foreign policy during the primaries? I'll tell you what, Joe, let's not go there. That's the first thing you do. Second, when Joe tries to impress you with his facts by asking you some question he's sure you cannot possibly know the answer to, simply say, well, Joe, nobody is claiming to know everything just because they're running for public office, but I do know the difference between President Roosevelt and President Hoover. I also know the difference between radio and television. Oh, one more thing, Joe. Never have I asked a man in the audience to stand up and be honored if this man was confined to a wheelchair. Three, when they ask you to explain or defend some obscure bill in John McCain's decades of public service, just smile and say, John McCain and I have many similarities and many differences. That is why we will work so well together. I'm here tonight to answer questions about my record, not Senator McCain's. Four, and this one is very important because Republican candidates foul it up almost every single time. When they ask you about abortion, and you can bet your life they will, don't make it sound like you are apologizing for being pro-life. Leave that mealy-mouthed talk to the Democrats. Let them be the ones to say, I'm personally against abortion, wink, wink, nod, nod to all you pro-lifers, but we must not allow the government into our bedrooms, wink, wink, nod, nod to the pro-choice people. The truth is, Republicans do not sound much better when they are on the defensive. They say stuff like, well, yes, it's true that I'm pro-life, but I won't really be doing anything active about abortion. All I will do is appoint strict constructionist judges, and the most they would do is send this back to the states. Oh, people, how refreshing it would be to hear a candidate say, yes, I'm pro-life, and if you think you're going to hear some kind of apology from me, you're going to have a long wait. Sarah, rest assured, the question will be shaped as a women's rights issue, not a life versus death issue. It will be something like, Governor Palin, if your ticket wins, you will be the first female vice president. But some think you are taking a step backwards for women. Will you be protecting a woman's right to choose? When they ask that objective, unbiased question, just say, I believe in the rights of all women, including baby women. Then remind them that the leading public opposition to abortion comes from women, not men, women. This even includes Norma McCorvey Roe from Roe versus Wade, who later had a change of heart. Let's see if smart Joe knows that one. And while we're at it, put Biden on the defensive. Make him answer for his position. Joe, you claim to be a Catholic, but you are pro-choice. Oh, well, no, Sarah. I'm personally pro-life, but we must protect a woman's right to choose. In almost every debate, that mindless mantra ends the discussion. This time, continue the discussion. Well, why, Joe? Why are you pro-life? Because you believe abortion is wrong? Why else would you be pro-life? So if abortion is the taking of a life, shouldn't it be against the law? Well, Sarah, if we outlaw abortion, women will just have them anyway, but they won't be safe. Well, yes, Joe, and when we outlawed murder and when we outlawed armed robbery, we knew people would break the law and commit those crimes anyway. They may even get hurt in the process, as such crimes are certainly not safe crimes. Should we have refrained from passing those laws simply because there will always be violators? But abortion is a religious belief. We must keep church and state separate. Oh, so when Martin Luther King called for civil rights legislation in the name of Christianity, that was wrong? And is this limited to religion? Does one have to believe the baby has a soul to believe the baby is alive? Sarah, can we just get off this philosophical exercise? The American people want to hear about the issues. Do that, Sarah, and the poor chump will never knew what hit him. But I'm telling you, if you dance around the issue, your dance will accomplish nothing. The headlines will still read in the morning, Sarah Palin refuses to uphold a woman's right to choose. Now, that same headline will be there even if you win the debate, but at least there'll also be a caption which says Joe Biden mumbles, bumbles, and stumbles his way through. Sarah, I'm not trying to make you into something you aren't, like your current advisors. It's just that I believe these answers are closer to your natural instincts. Don't suppress them for those coveted independents. Let McCain go after them. You were brought on to electrify the base. Your wild card is your authenticity. The moment you start sounding like a politician, you lose the debate. Even if Biden tells us that Benjamin Franklin invented the telephone. In the couple minutes we have left, Brian, let's go to the phones. We have Barrett. Barrett, welcome to the Bob Siegel Show.
Yes, Bob. Have you heard the horrible things that the abominable Obama has said about Gianna Jessen's ad? Like he said that they're lies and that she's distorting his the meaning of his vote. How can you distort the meaning of a vote?
Yeah, she's the lady, for those who don't know her name, she is the lady who was an eyewitness to the fact that in hospitals, babies that were born, that lived and survived botched abortions, Obama had a right to vote against, or a vote actually for a bill that would have protected those fetuses, and he voted against it. And now he tries to lie, and he tries to say that he didn't vote on it.
No, Gianna Jessen is a living abortion.
Yes, you're right. That's right. She's somebody who survived it. Okay, I was thinking there was also a nurse in the hospital that was an eyewitness and held the baby, but you're right. She's the woman who was actually an abortion survivor. Well, Barrett, we're out of time. Very good point, folks. It's beyond abortion. We have a candidate who's in favor of infanticide. A lot of hard times. We're going to get through this. Courage.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.